Back once again. Welcome to Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located in Quincy Point, back at it again at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, we're joined by now four-time guest, Green Street native and undisputed rough and rowdy champion of the world, Bobby Lights Out Lang. And folks, it was quite a doozy. What do you think over there?
Champ's here.
Champ was here. Came in, dominated the microphone, got out of here, back to the gym probably.
Endless belts.
I've never seen a champion like him other than the guy that we'll probably talk about later in the show named Tom Brady, but Lights Out Lang's making a run.
Comparison.
Lights Out Lang's making a run for it. I don't know who, if you want to step up to that guy.
Coin flip.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Get his conditioning down.
And he's calling people out too. He's not afraid. He doesn't give a fuck.
You're gonna have to
be the dickhead to give him his first loss. Best of luck with that. Probably not gonna happen.
Before we get into everything else in the interview, I just want to give a quick shout out. Last week, our friend's father, Jim Hines, passed away, and I just wanted to give him, you know, a good shout out here, and you know, really great guy. All four of us knew him. Really exceptional guy, and I just want to give my hearts and prayers out to the Hineses.
Absolutely.
So afterwards, since we haven't been on the airwaves and since Tom Brady's seventh ring, we'll give you our final takes on that. The Celtics suck. The Bruins are great. And are the Tampa Bay Rays already done? We're going to put on a hell of a show for you tonight, folks. So, you know, let's get loose and get after it. Here is Bobby Lights Out Lang. We now have four-time guest now, undisputed rough and rowdy champion of the world.
It might be five-time.
No, it's four.
Oh, this is four.
Yeah, four. All right, don't interrupt my introduction, all right?
Fuck, I'm sorry.
It'll be five in a couple months.
Anyways, we have him here once again. Another win a couple weeks back. How's everything going, Bobby? Obviously, a lot of success has happened throughout the course of the last couple year and a half now.
Yeah, years. Something like that. Yeah, it's going good. Keep piling up the wins, so I'm happy about that.
Uh-huh. We talked before, and you were supposed to go to Tampa. What was your feeling? Because it had to be disappointing being like, shit, I'm not going to Tampa anymore. I'm going to West Virginia. Yeah. And then it turns out Tom Brady goes to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, it would have been great.
I was so fucking mad about it. Especially the closer that Tom Brady kept getting, like, every win, you know what I mean? I'm like, they're going to be in the Super Bowl. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, you
know
Drew Brees, like, come on, buddy.
Like, at first, because when he told me, it wasn't even the playoffs yet. You know what I mean? So, like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's in West Virginia. Obviously, I thought it was supposed to be in Tampa. And so it wasn't even a thought in my head yet. The Pats, I obviously knew the Pats weren't making the playoffs, so I didn't really care. I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? If the Pats were like a good team like they are almost every other year, I'd be mad because I'd be like, oh, what the fuck? I'm going to miss out. But I knew they weren't making it, so I was like, whatever. I don't care. I don't even care. But then obviously Tom Brady starts getting closer and closer, and I'm like, oh, shit. Of course, fucking – I would have definitely went to that Super Bowl. You know what I mean? But whatever. I don't really care. It is what it is.
Uh-huh.
But obviously, I was looking forward to going, and then they were like – for obviously COVID, they couldn't do it there, so they had to do it in West Virginia again. So. I'll see you there.
Off to the sticks.
And we talked about the whole like West Virginia scene when you last came on. Just was there anything different going into it? I know you said obviously it's a Penn National game, so it's a Barstool thing where like that's their own backyard if they can't do it anywhere else. Was there anything different than the last time that you went there?
Well, the difference was this time I knew the ropes. You know what I mean? Like I understood the lay of the land. Like I rented a car this time because it's in the middle of nowhere. And last time getting Ubers everywhere was like fucking a disaster. Like I was stranded like 10 different times at one, like just be sitting there like, and West Virginia's not warm either. I don't know if I'm not like a fucking geographist. But it's down
and
south.
Lying,
so I, you know, last time I was like, oh, it's down south. It's probably not that cold. It was fucking colder down there than it is up here. So I'm like, didn't even bring a jacket last time. And I'm sitting out on park benches waiting for rides, like freezing my ass off. And I'm like, this sucks. And then this time my fiance was like, we should rent a car. It'd be way smarter. And I was like, yeah, good idea. So we rented a car and everything was just so much better just for that. So that was one big step.
Good,
in the right
upgrade,
yeah.
Upgrade. There we go. There we
but
go.
That's something you got to learn the hard way. You know what I mean?
Do they give you a penthouse in that hotel? Or are there penthouses?
There definitely are, but they don't get them for us. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say the room is bad. Like it's a decent room. It's a like average run of the mill hotel room at a casino. So it's, you know, it's kind of like if you got like the fucking normal room at Foxwoods. It kind of looks like that.
Okay.
But obviously, Foxwoods
has that.
Not terrible.
I mean, I'm sure Dave Portnoy's not staying in a fucking, little two-bedroom, twin-bed, like, fucking room. Like, I'm sure he's up in the penthouse. A
little better view or something like that, little bastard.
He might be in Miami, like, the 3 hours after.
Yeah, you know what?
Anyway.
He probably does get directly on a fucking private plane right after and just fly out of there.
So, Rough and Rowdy fans, so you were supposed to fight Trapzilla.
Yeah.
And obviously a big dude, a guy who's, would you say, like, championship contender type. What was kind of your training going into the fight, and how upsetting was it to hear? I didn't hear until the day of that he dropped out.
Well, he didn't drop out.
That's what I want to hear.
This is funny, too. Yeah. So he tested positive for COVID. I'll say it, because I don't have to adhere to any fucking HIPAA laws. Like, he has COVID, everyone who wants to know. For some reason, they, like, couldn't broadcast that he had COVID because of HIPAA or whatever. Like, they kept saying, like, they kept, like, going on social media, like, due to unforeseen events, Trapzilla will not be fighting. It's like, just say he has fucking COVID. Like, we're in a pandemic. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
like,
everyone knows that's what you're, like,
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I know. Like, and the people in the comments, I was reading, were, like, flipping out. Like, what the fuck do you mean an unforeseen? It was fucking COVID. He had it. And it's funny because they were like, yeah, HIPAA, whatever, can't say it. I was like, well, if anyone asks me, I'm saying it because I don't give a fuck about HIPAA laws. Like, the kid I was supposed to fight got COVID. End of story. Like, move on. It's not that big of a deal. And the dude fucking messaged me and sent me a copy of his results just to be like, hey, just in case, like, I don't want it looking like I'm a fucking bitch.
Do you think he forged them?
No, I unless he's like a fucking Photoshop expert. They looked pretty legit to me.
Computers are wild these days.
If it was me, I don't know why he didn't. I would have gave them, I don't know, maybe they didn't ask him, but I would have been like, hey, just so you guys know, you have my permission to tell people this. Like, don't. Yeah. I'm not gonna sue you for HIPAA shit. Like, I would have personally posted my results online and be like, just so everyone knows, these are my results. I'm positive. Like, this isn't me backing out. Like, they make us get tested like 2 days before the fight. So like, every single fighter down there has to get tested. So it's not unrealistic to think someone got tested and tested positive.
No, of course not.
I don't know why they didn't just broadcast it I don't know why he didn't broadcast it more. Yeah. I would have been all over that because I would have been like, hey. I don't want people fucking calling me a bitch. Like, this is why.
But, no excuses.
So
how do you, like, have to switch gears now? You're fighting someone completely different. From what I heard before we started talking here, you knew nothing about them. They were mixing up lies or whatever you want to.
They didn't lie, but they withheld a lot of information about him. So the kid fought in the last card. And he fucking knocked the kid out that he fought. He fucking killed the kid. But the kid he fought sucked. So it was kind of hard to, like, gauge how good he is. You know what I mean? Because, like, anyone can look good fighting a fucking scrub. So, but he did look good. He, like, not taking anything away from him. Just not his fault that his opponent was fucking couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag. But, anyways, so the promoter calls me and he's like, dude, fucking kid you're supposed to fight got COVID. So, like, keep in mind, this is 2 days. This is on Wednesday. I'm supposed to leave the next day. And, or maybe it was Tuesday, whatever. It was close enough that it was only a couple days out. And, like, we got this other kid who's pretty good. They're like, he fought in the last card. He knocked some guy the fuck out. Like, he's fought in a couple, he has a couple of MMA fights outside of here, too. Like, he's on MMA. He's boxed a little, like, they told me he has a little bit more experience than, like, the kid I was supposed to fight and that he's pretty good. But will you fight him? And I was like, well, 99% sure I'm going to say yes because I'm not a pussy. I'm not going to fucking back down from anybody. But I was like, but before I agreed to anything, I was like, send me the video of his last fight so I can at least see what I'm getting myself into. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, he's pretty good. But I was like, I can beat this kid. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll fight him. Nice. So just
there
like that. He's like, all right, cool. So
there we go.
Then I started researching him a little bit and he had way more fights out there like on YouTube and shit. And I'm like, maybe I should have watched all these before I agreed to anything. But he was pretty good. But obviously, I was confident that I'd still beat him. So
now, do you know like his scenario at all? Like, did they just call him on Wednesday, be like, "Get down to fight this guy"? And
he wanted to fight again. So they try to match people up in this thing based on like skill and experience. Yeah. Like, they're not going to put some kid who has a bunch of fights outside of the promotion with other promotions and shit. They're not going to match him up against some kid who's never fought before and have him just beat the living fuck out of him.
Unless you guarantee 5K if you lose.
You would have got fucking massive.
So yeah. So
thanks for the donation, asshole.
So they try to match you up based on your skill level and experience level. So this kid obviously is pretty good. And he has other fights outside of this, and he does MMA and shit. Like, he's, you know what I mean? He's not a joke. So, like, they couldn't find him an opponent like that was on his skill level or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they kept him on as, like, an alternate, and they were like, if anything comes up, we'll get you a fight. But, you know, just be ready for us to call you. And actually, they were going to hire him to work down there as a corner man originally. So he was coming regardless.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so he was ready to go.
Yeah, they hired him to be a corner man, and they were like, but just keep your phone on, because if we find a fight for you, you're going to fight. And then obviously the kid fucking Trapzilla got COVID. So they called this kid and they're like, hey, you want to fucking fight Lang? And he was like, yeah, all about it. Like ready to go. So then they asked me and obviously I said yes too.
What an idiot.
Gave him the champ.
No, I respect. You got to respect him for stepping up.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Well,
and it was a good fight. It was a good fight.
That was the toughest opponent I've faced so far. Definitely.
That's a fact.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you watched the fight. What do you think?
I'm just shocked you would say that over the Terman one. Like Terman, that was the one fight I was like, yeah. This. Well, this, yeah. Well,
Terman hit harder than anybody. This day, everyone I've sparred.
He's just a concerning dude to fight. Yeah, against, in my opinion.
No one's ever hit me as hard as Terman, but. I mean, his skill level or whatever, like, he's one of those guys that if he catches you, he can knock you out. But if you're,
this kid was definitely, this kid was a better boxer, yes, no doubt about it.
Now, how did you think the fight went? Because I'm interested to hear, because I remember you saying after the interview or even one of our last episodes that, like, your cardio, like, wasn't the best. I just want to hear what you
said. Here's the thing. So it took me 4 fights to figure this out. So I'll get into this. My cardio going into this one was, my cardio is not great. All right, that's no secret. Everyone knows that. But going into this one, my cardio was like the best it's ever been. So I was pretty confused myself why I was getting so tired. But then I figured it out. It's because all the fucking, especially with MMA dudes, they always do this. But obviously, they're always grappling with me and shit. Every time I get in close, they fucking tie me up and they grab my arms and shit. And there's a lot of like grappling going on. And that's the shit that tires me out. I figured that out. Like, I'm like, why the fuck am I getting so tired? Because when I spar with kids, I do way longer rounds and way more rounds, and I don't get nearly as tired as I do in these rough and rowdy fights. And that's the reason. It's because there's no grappling a little bit here and there, but normally, it's like 1 second and you get separated. But in rough and rowdy, they let it go. Like, they let you fucking grapple a lot more. And that's the shit. Wrestling, fighting for position, like tugging on my arms, like I'm trying to hit him and he's like holding my arm and I'm like fighting my arm free. Like, that's the shit that's burning my body out. So I figured it out. It took me 4 fucking fights to figure it out. That's why I get tired quicker in rough and rowdy than I do in other things. So now I gotta just figure out a way to train for that for the next one moving forward. I gotta fucking start like grappling with people in the gym, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Got it figured out. Let's go. Yeah. Hey, it should be terrifying.
That's the worst skill to have to like get better at, but I guess.
Highly conditioned, baby. Well, let's get it.
I train with people all the time and I go way longer than I do in rough and rowdy and I'm not tired. And then I get down there in the real fight and I get tired. By the 3rd round, I'm fucking gassed and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But then I figured it out. It's from fucking. Because I don't do MMA, you know what I mean? I'm not used to fucking grappling with people and wrestling around, like basically wrestling with someone, but standing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the shit that's making me tired. So I guess.
I'm just curious too. Does like the adrenaline kick in like that first round and like some way, like some of your energy is used like all early on in the fight. And then by third round comes around and you're kind of gassed.
I'm sure I have more adrenaline in the first round than I do. Like,
you
I'm
come
sure.
out like a bat out of hell, man. Yeah. Every time you like fucking come up firing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of my strategy. I always come right out like I'm never going to sit back. Like, I come out fucking, I want to fucking fight, and then I want to see like what this kid's all about. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit back and try to counter him, and I'm coming out there and fucking fighting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if the first round, if it doesn't go my way, then I'll, in between rounds, I'll have to come up with a better game plan for the second round. But if I come out for the first round and I fucking think I think I have you, then I'm going to keep coming out doing the same thing. But the style that I fight, I expend a lot of energy, obviously, because I'm like, you know, in your face, fucking throwing punches.
Brawler mentality.
Yeah, then, going right at it.
But then obviously the thing that I don't plan for, which we just discussed, is the grappling aspect that I haven't really trained for at all. So I got to start fucking doing, I'm not going to start fucking working out on that, I guess.
What I wanted to know too is because after the fight, they did like the Q&A with you and like you were out of breath.
Yeah.
I want to give you the floor right now. What like did you want to say?
Well, I kind of touched up on it a little bit. I wanted to call. All right. I get the whole Billy Football works at Barstool thing. Fucking Big Cat nominated him, this and that. But like, if they're going to have one of us fight Jose Canseco, I'm like, it should obviously have been me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm the guy. Like,
yeah, come on now.
Like, I'm like, this kid, especially because obviously no one knew Jose Canseco was going to be a little bitch and fucking fake a fucking shoulder injury.
Just to cop the money.
Yeah,
but absolutely. Like,
what a joke.
But like, from the outside looking in, you would think this dude, Jose Canseco, is a fucking, he's 56 years old, but he's still a fucking monster. Like, he's huge. He has a little bit of fighting experience. Like, he's done MMA. He fought fucking, like, Pride, like, 20 years ago or something against some, like, huge dude. But and he lost. But
yeah, they're pretty sure he got massacred.
He's boxed like a couple times. Well. He's lost, like, all his fights. But the point is, he's obviously he has a little bit of training. Yeah. And, like, so, like, this kid, Billy Football, is an athlete, but he's never boxed before in his life. Like, you can't just get in the ring and fight someone that knows what they're doing. I don't care how tough you are and how athletic you are. Like, someone who knows what they're doing will fucking pick you apart.
Yeah.
So Jose Canseco, on paper, knew what he was doing. So I'm like, this kid's going to get fucking killed. And I'm like, what kind of look is that for Barstool if you send this fucking intern up to get fucking slaughtered by this fucking monster? Like, so I just thought I was the obvious choice. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, I'd fucking, because I know I'd beat him. I was like, I'll fucking beat the fuck out of the 56-year-old man. I don't care. I'll put him in a fucking retirement home.
He deserves it.
If I get the money, I don't care. I'll beat anybody up. But yeah, so I was kind of upset about that. Not upset, but I was just like, well, kind of felt slighted. Like, they skipped over me. So I was going to call out the winner of that fight. Like, my plan was, I thought Jose Canseco was going to fucking kill Billy Football, to be honest. I told him this after. I told Billy. I was like, hey, no offense. I did not think you were going to win that fight. Like, congrats that you did. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I was in your corner the whole time, because I wasn't. But anyways, I was like, my thought process was Jose Canseco is going to win. He's going to knock this kid the fuck out. So I want to call him out. So then I get to fight him next. You know what I mean? Because obviously he's getting paid a lot of money to fight. Why would he stop fighting? Like, I'm like, I'll be next line. You know what I mean? So he knocks this kid out. Then I'll be next. And then I'll beat the fuck out of him. And then I'll get paid. You know what I mean? Like, the big money fight. But obviously it didn't go that way. Billy Football won. But Jose Canseco kind of took a fucking dive like a little bitch.
Crumbled,
Yeah, so my plan didn't work. So it didn't even matter that I wasn't even able. I didn't have the breath to even call him out properly. But didn't even fucking matter. So whatever.
So continuing on your fight. So you... That was your third championship fight?
Yeah, well, technically, my first fight was just like a random dude.
Yeah,
like, and then my second one was against Terman for the belt. And then obviously COVID happened, and we had a long stretch where there wasn't any fight. I was supposed to fight a bunch of other people, and they all got canceled. And then my next fight after that was the kid Wade Woodruff. But that technically didn't count as a – like, that was like a different weight class. Like, I went down the weight. We met in the middle because he's a lot smaller than me. And we met in like a, you know, a 10-pound window or whatever. So that didn't count for like the belt. Like,
so you actually have three physical belts?
Yes, I do have three physical belts. So I have three physical belts, but only two belts. You know what I mean? Because one of them is just the same. I have an exact replica of the same belt.
It's a
twice.
Duplicate,
Because
decoy.
Yeah. So I think they just didn't want to risk, like,
if you forget it at the bar.
Say I fucking forgot it. Like, because think about it, I'm flying down there, like, say I flew all the way down there and was like, oh, shit, I fucking left my belt at my house. Like, then what would they do? They'd be fucked. Like, oh, who do we give the belt to if you lose? Like, or even if I win, like, they wouldn't have it. So I think they come prepared. They just make a new belt every time. So I got down there, I actually brought the belt, obviously. And then I get down there and they're like, oh, we already have one. And I'm like, all right, so what do I do with this one? Just throw it in the fucking trash? But it is kind of funny that they do that, because I actually almost did forget the belt. Dead ass. I was like leaving my house to go to the fucking airport at like 5 a.m. or whatever. And I did like one last double take. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do one last like walk around, make sure I didn't forget anything. And the belt was just sitting there on my couch. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, imagine if I forgot that.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been such an idiot. Like, because I meant to pack. Like,
you got to hang them on the wall. Like, so you just, it. You're like, grab my briefcase or whatever. Yeah.
I had all my shit down there. And I just like threw it on the couch. Like, I'll pack it later or whatever. And I just like grabbed all my bags and stuff and left. And I just forgot it. And I did. If I didn't come in and check, I would have forgot it, but I obviously saw it and brought it, and I just thought it was funny because I'm like, dude, they'd be so mad if I forgot this. Then I get down there and they had one, and I'm like, all right, I didn't even fucking need to bring it. So watch, next time I won't bring it, and they won't make them this time, and I'll be like, what the fuck, where's your belt?
I thought you already had one.
Yeah, I know. So
are you calling out Billy here, kind of?
Yeah, I did right to his face, right
what
after.
What did he say?
He said yes, but obviously he said yes in the moment, and he was in front of a crowd, so like it didn't really give him a choice, but... In the moment, he was just coming off of his win. He was obviously like riding high.
Would you be proud of that win? I mean, he did nothing.
No, but I mean, he didn't know he didn't know that at the time. Like, he, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that was my question too. Like, you were right around the ring. Like, how blatant was he just took the dive?
100%, dude. Yeah. I was sitting, I had front row seats.
It was 10 seconds.
Look at the picture. Have you seen the picture on my Instagram of me like sitting there? Like it's like I posted it. It's like my fiance took it of me, like getting checked out by the doctor after. I'm just like wicked out of breath. Like, right where Roan interviewed me. Mm-hmm. I literally, so right after that, I asked the guy, the people in charge that are like running the thing. I was like, hey, I was like, I'm already sitting here. I was like, can I just stay here for the fight and watch? Like, so I got front row seats. And he was like, he just like looked around and was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
Yeah, fuck it,
so I was like, all right, sick. So I just,
that shouldn't even be a question.
Yeah,
I just turned my chair around and faced the ring. I was literally sitting there like ringside, like as close as I am to this table. So
that's
I couldn't have had a better fucking view of his dive. And he didn't even get touched. And he just goes down and starts holding his shoulder. And I'm like, oh my God, is this guy fucking for real? Like, Absolute fucking
he
pussy.
He said he tore his shoulder during training, yeah. But that's a bunch of
He had like a too. Like he was like, wait till it comes out, like all the tests. Yeah,
I didn't know he was getting paid $50,000 upfront and a percentage of ticket sales. I mean, that's a no brainer for him. Yeah. I thought it was like we're fighting for $100,000.
At first, before I knew that he was getting the percent of the pay per view sales, I thought it was either 50. I thought it was 50 to fight, 100 if you win. So I'm thinking I was kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt, like maybe he really did hurt his shoulder because I'm like, why would anybody just settle for $50,000 when you have the chance to win 100. Like, why wouldn't you go out on your fucking shield and try to win that 100 grand?
Like, especially in something like that. Like, you stand the chance to
do
exactly.
It. Like,
you know what I mean?
Like, go fight like a 22-year-old.
Yeah. Throw a few punches.
You know what I
mean?
So I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. I was like, all right, you know, maybe he's 56 years old. Maybe he really did fucking tear his shoulder. And I'm like, why would anyone just leave $50,000 on the table? But then, lo and behold, turns out he was getting $1 million for the fucking pay-per-view sales. So it's like, what the fuck's $50,000 when you just made $1 million?
Yeah,
like,
so, yeah.
The funniest part, nothing. Too, I was watching the pay-per-view and like the whole time Big Cat just like fished it out right away, like knew it was like he dove and everything. And Dave was like, nah, like he's good. Like he fell down because his shoulder was torn, not because he like ate the fight. And as soon as he remembered that like he got $1 million covered, he completely switched his answer. It was so funny.
He's like, that motherfucker got me.
I know. They just got beat straight up. Like, yeah, they got legit. Straight up played. But, like, it's funny because, like, you think that they'd be more like their lawyers and shit would, like, oversee the contracts. And you could tell that it's, like, thrown together.
Oh, yeah. They learned now they said they're going to throw in a clause where you have to, like, a morality clause where you have to at least show that you're trying.
And especially because, like, Jose Canseco is a known scumbag.
Yeah, I know.
That we should have seen that coming.
Yeah, if anyone's going to do it, it's him.
Like, yeah. Like,
it's funny because they've all said that after. They're like, in hindsight, we should have seen this coming.
Like, that was the guy. Yeah.
Luckily, the rest of the fights were good enough where that didn't even really fucking matter. I mean, I wasn't even fully looking forward to that fight the most.
I know.
Over your fight or the...
I eat ass, got his ass kicked.
Were you shocked about that?
That was the biggest
knockout. That's
probably
the worst knockout ever.
I honestly think that was like the biggest knockout in the history of planet Earth. Like,
I thought he exaggerated the way he went down. Like, he was hurt.
They didn't even... So, I guess from like, if you watch it on like pay-per-view or whatever, like...
They
cut away. Like, they didn't show. He was laying in the ring like that for like fucking 5 straight minutes. Obviously, I'm sitting right there watching it. Like, because all my friends were like texting me in my group chat, like asking about it. And I'm like, they're like, oh no, they cut away. They're showing something else. I'm like, oh, he's still in the ring.
Yeah,
like,
definitely not good.
He's getting put on a stretcher.
Yeah. I used to think it was possible because that kid is a big kid and you're using like really big boxing gloves. So I didn't even think that knockout was possible. Yeah. The kid that must have been firing it, what was his name?
Shizat the Rizat.
Yeah, must be throwing some hands.
He looks like he fought like Brad Pitt in like Snatch. That's the vibe I got. Because I eat ass, this is, you know, he's cocky. I'm sure Shizat the Rizat's cocky too, but
Shizat's actually pretty humble. He's actually like
you're right.
And his thing, Casey Deal, the kid that lost, that's his real name. I eat ass. I'm like friends with him. Like me and him, you know, he's from New England. He's from Rhode Island. So like me and him have been together since Providence. So like me and him are like boys. So obviously I was rooting for him. You know, he's the only other guy down there from New England. I didn't want to see him lose, but Shizat's a good dude too. I like that kid. So obviously I was rooting for Casey, but you know, it is what it is. But my point is, what I was getting at is the kid Shizat's wicked humble. The kid Casey, he's pretty cocky. Like obviously you can tell by his videos and shit.
Yeah.
And he was looking past this dude. Like he thought he was going to fucking kill him. He didn't take him. He took him like I never take people lightly. He took this kid wicked lightly. Like he was already looking past him, like thinking there's no chance. This kid's going to be – like, he thought he was going to knock him the fuck out in one round. Like, so then that's what happens. That's why you don't underestimate anybody. That's why I'll never do that. Like, I don't care how much better I think I am than somebody. Fuck never it. Underestimate anybody because –
never do. Those gloves hate you, man.
You know, he's looking past him and fucking should have been looking right in front of your face because that's – this kid's not a joke. Like, he's knocked the ball before. He's quick. But I like both of them. You know, Casey's a good dude. Like, I'm sure I'll be back. I'm sure he's going to come back and fucking – you know, he probably learned his lesson. And now next fight, he's probably going to – approach it differently and he's gonna knock the kid the fuck out. The kid Shane, that's his real name, the Shizat kid, but he's a fucking beast too. So I mean, hopefully he's gonna definitely have some good fights coming up, I would think, in the future.
My last question here, and I think we've asked it like every time that you come on, like you want to keep winning, but how far do you want to take this thing? Like, do you want
to
take it besides Rough and Rowdy? Like,
to the
you want to just keep going, enjoy the ride?
I'm both. Like, I want to keep going as long as I can, obviously. You know, if the opportunity ever presented itself to fight somewhere else and keep, you know, move past it, I would definitely would. I'm not not turning my nose up in anything. Like, I'm going to keep looking at it like one step at a time, one fight at a time or whatever, but I want to keep getting better. I'm in the gym every fucking day. Like, I'm going to try to keep getting better, and I'm going to go as far with it as I can. You know what I mean?
So is the Trapzilla fight now like even more like kind of hyped up? I'm assuming that's still going to happen, or?
Yeah. Unless Billy Football steps up.
Oh, true.
Like,
true.
You know what I mean? It's contingent on that. Like, if it's no secret, I want to fight Billy Football now because he's coming in here kind of like stealing my fucking thunder a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm working.
A lot of fucking nerve.
Yeah. Like,
disrespect.
Yeah. Like, you got to
put him in his place.
You're going to come in and fucking think you're going to take over. Like, so you're going to fight me then, buddy. You know what I mean?
I do.
Nothing personal, nothing against him, but like, I'm the fucking guy to beat. Like, congrats. You beat a fucking 56-year-old man who took a dive. Like, you want to fucking fight this thing now? Like, come beat me. But I don't think he's going to take it, to be honest. I think he said it to my face when I called him out to his face after, in a nice way. I wasn't a dickhead. I was just like, hey, me and you should fight next. Let's like, go. But,
I'll be shocked if he fights you. I really
will. No, that's the thing. He said yes in the moment because all the Basel guys were around. Like, they were like, oh, shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he had to say yes. Couldn't say no. And obviously, he's a big, athletic kid. So he said yes, but I think once the smoke clears and he starts thinking about it, people are going to steer him again. They're going to be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't.
You've watched this guy fight, right?
He's not going to take a dive. He's going to
You're going to get hit this time.
But anyways, I don't think it's going to happen, but obviously I want it to, but if it doesn't, which it probably isn't, Trapzilla is next in line. I'm fighting him next. So back.
And are you expecting it to be right back in West Virginia?
Yeah, definitely. For the time until this COVID shit's cleared up, I think it's gonna be there every time.
Every time.
God damn it. Does it still suck with no fans? I'm assuming.
Yeah,
it sounds quite. It's
there's like 100 people there, so like there's like a little tiny crowd because.
But it's not like Providence. Remember Providence?
Yeah. Yeah, Providence. I bet Tampa was. Crazy,
I always shit in my pants when I walked in front of that crowd.
But Providence
was
a great
better
time.
Than Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Providence was fucking crazy, dude. The crowd there was fucking. Dude, they were throwing beer cans in the ring after I won. I was like dodging beer cans. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Miami was like more strict. They had way more security there and shit, and it was just a different crowd. Like Providence, you got all fucking guys from like, Boston, Providence area, like mass holes and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking way more like rowdy group of people. Miami was all like college kids and shit. You know what I mean? Like very yuppies. True. Like, so.
Well, hopefully when this is all like over, that like the House of Blues in Boston or some type of venue will be open, ready to roll.
Yeah.
Bobby Lights Out Lang, Rangers Heart.
Yeah.
Great to have you on again, pal.
Love being
absolutely.
On.
Champs here. Let's
go. Next one.
So Bobby Lights Out Lang, folks, I think the best is ahead. I think he's only going to get better.
About to get conditioned. He's about to smoke everyone.
He's learning in every fight. I would not want to be the guy standing across from him in the ring. I really wouldn't. I don't know. You guys, that's a tough opponent to go against.
Won't be me.
Speaking of tough opponents to go against, so we haven't been on, like I said in the beginning of the show,
transition.
The airwaves. Super Bowl 55. Going into it, they thought the Chiefs Kingdom was going to all have it. And no, that was not the case. The Buccaneers pull out with Tom Brady's 7th Super Bowl with a 31-9 victory. I think most of us had the Bucs besides Anton. Of course, his coward face didn't show up tonight, but we all called it here. But it was the greatest non-Patriot Super Bowl I ever watched, and it's not even close.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Absolutely. To watch Tom, and it wasn't even like everyone Tom won here was like heart-wrenching, great as fuck, like to just like sit back, drink a beer, and like watch Tom Brady win.
It
was amazing.
It was phenomenal.
Loved it.
And the first two to Gronk, that was sensational. That's what you want, the prop bets and everything we talked about. I made out big. I know a lot of people who made a killing. I've talked to bookies around here, and they got absolutely smashed because everyone smashed Tampa from around here. Right out of the get-go, you see that.
Fuck the bookies.
No, and you know what I love too is like Brady and Gronk, like that first touchdown, that was probably planned like the second they won the championship game.
Yeah.
Like they were like, you're scoring the first touchdown, Gronk. Like, let's go.
It seemed like very
like Brady knew, like they knew that was gonna happen.
First and goal we have play action dump out left side, bang, touchdown.
Yeah, that was
that's literally what it was.
That was in the books for
it
you.
Was sex. It was sex. And it was less stressful than watching the Patriots.
It was way less stressful.
It was a lot less stressful, but you just wanted who you wanted to win. Didn't care, but you cared a little bit, but just not enough. It wasn't stressful. It was a beautiful evening.
It's funny that you ask yourself that question. I know I did. As soon as like the sign happened with the Brady sign, we're like, how are you going to fail if he wins a Super Bowl? And something in my mind was just like, it's
what
not
do you mean,
it's
the Brady sign.
Like when he signed with the Bucks last March. Yeah. So I originally felt like it might be gut-wrenching. It might be like, oh, it's like seeing your like ex-girlfriend, you know, going off and dating Brad Pitt or something like that. But no, it was the complete opposite. It was great. I'm a Patriots fan like till I die, but I don't know what I'm a bigger fan of. I really don't know. A Patriots fan or a Tom Brady fan? I really don't know.
That whole playoff run was so beautiful because it was like every troll internet dickhead that tried to tell me Drew Brees was better than that guy, you're a loser. Aaron Rodgers, loser. Even Mahomes, loser.
He took down Murderers Row.
Yeah.
He took down everyone that people were comparing him to.
Yeah, and he took them down handedly in like all three of those.
And like you said about the ex, I think I said this in the group chat. It was like watching your ex do porn and you were turned on. Like you were like, well, I'm into this. Like I'm beyond into this. I'm happy for her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Proud of it. Proud of it. Say it.
I mean, we can say
any
all
of
we...
my exes out there. Yeah. I hope you're not doing that. But if you are, send me the link.
I hope life sucks.
Send me the link.
Send me the link. Back on the game though, because you know Tom Brady 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Gronk. That's a great piece of this game. But the story was the Tampa Bay defense.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how dominant this Kansas City Chiefs offense was. They didn't even score a touchdown.
No, absolutely.
I won't give Anton credit because I refuse to do so. And I guess he said that the offensive line was going to be the, you know, focus point of the game. And they got washed.
Yeah.
They got washed. Jason Pierre-Paul with 3 fingers stuck him up.
Oh, yeah.
Got ready for it.
Shaq Barrett, amazing. Yeah. That guy was Devin White should be worth like $1 billion when his like rookie deal comes up. Like a billion.
And you know what I'm going to get to that's not even about the game? That's the most fascinating thing about this whole thing was Tom Brady was visibly drunk at their Super Bowl parade.
Shit-faced.
That was incredible. Wrecked.
Yeah, tequila, baby.
That was like watching your ex have the best night of their life. Like that was tough to watch. Him throwing the Lombardi Trophy on that boat hurt.
I don't.
He was chilling in the sun. That parade looked better. It wasn't even. I don't even know what that
no,
was.
No, it looked
like
the players
in the Tampa Bay.
It looked better because it was on boats and shit.
It looked like the players were having a better time, but it did not look like a better parade in terms of like the fan. You know, experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as like being on the duck boats is probably awesome. Like the duck boats in February, or like a big ass boat in Tampa. Like that's definitely better for them.
I take that.
Yeah,
there's no way that Tampa Bay compared. But he looked like he had a blast.
And you know what? I have to get back to my bonehead of the week. The bonehead of the week this week is I don't even care what her name is. I really don't even. The Lombardi chick that's saying, would you throw? Did you see what Gronk did with the Super Bowl trophy? Oh, that's just looking for attention. I hate that shit. Did you see it, Magic? Like,
I saw
it. She was upset that Tom Brady.
I think Tom should throw it at her face. I mean, disgusting.
Yeah,
it's just a replica trophy or whatever, right? I mean, it's not like. They got a million of those
right? Either way, like, who gives a fuck? It's a trophy.
And you could tell how much...
It doesn't matter, literally.
It was a perfect pass, and it was a perfect catch, always.
Tom Brady threw it, lady. Chill the fuck
out. It's insulting to Tom to say that he can't be throwing that
The
pick.
Fact that he hasn't even acknowledged her, like, coming out like that just reads how, like... Because he's a big PR guy. If he thinks he did something wrong, he will come out and apologize. He did not do anything wrong.
I don't think he was drunk. I was listening to like KFC radio and they were talking to some guy. I don't know. I heard sources that said he wasn't drunk, which is a little weird because he looks pretty fucked up.
Why were they carrying him?
Sea
it's
legs,
a good question.
Maybe.
I don't
sea
know.
Legs, who knows?
Yeah, I think that is the excuse. Was he hammered? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
No, he's a god. It literally doesn't matter. He's fine.
Before we move on.
I wish he was drunk tweeting at that lady though and being like,
yeah, shut the fuck up.
Suck it. He's at the point in his career now where he should just be able to like go off and say whatever he wants.
He shouldn't have to do like he should just be able to leave the field.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even have to play by the rules anymore when you've
the fact that
done
like he was
done.
Getting changed, like when all of his like teammates were like celebrating, like this is just another go around for him. Like he's gonna be there again. You see Bill Belichick when they like won their whatever it was 10th AFC
Coach
championship.
Subway?
Coach, come on.
I'm done with them. I'm done with the Pats. I'm done. Well, I've moved on.
That's a fair weather, but
I always was a fair weather guy. My point I'm a parade was, guy. I follow the parades.
My point was based on back to this Chick Lombardi. Bill Belichick treated the AFC Championship trophy like a piece of shit, and it's getting to a point where Tom Brady doesn't even want to look at the thing. He just wants another one.
Yeah.
The
next one.
You know what my favorite ring is? You said it, Magic.
Quick question. Do you think that this squad sticks together?
Absolutely.
I like, do. The majority of them, of them, the whole crew?
They stand a very good chance. I think I looked up on offense, like Godwin is like up. Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David on defense. But like
they'll get at least one of them back.
And Sue. But Sue will come back for like nothing.
Yeah. And the thing is, Gronk's a free agent too. And I saw on Pat McAfee shows the other day. Do you think he might like go get some money? Like, three years, 30 mil, or like he was like trying to play around with that question, and it's like, no, he came back to play with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
and you have your best chance to win the Super Bowl with the Bucks. Why would you go anywhere else?
I think Antonio Brown's the same way. I think he's a free agent, and I think both of those guys would just sign a contract to play with Tom Brady and get like free Chick-fil-A or something.
But what
like,
was it? Rob Ninkovich, Rob Gronkowski's former teammate, came out and said, I think he's going to sign with the Dolphins. And, like, that guy shouldn't even have a microphone.
Yeah.
Like, that is erroneous.
That. That's
horrible.
That would be funny if the crew moved down to Miami. Like, they just were like, next city in next city in Florida.
Side of the state sucks. Go to the other one.
I will say, to end the note on, I've never seen more of one person in, you know, the game of basketball. There's five people on a court. That happens way more in basketball. But go into losing franchise and be like, we're going to be good. That's literally what happened.
It takes leadership.
He made everyone go in and believe. The last thing, though, I will say today, Carson Wentz traded to the Colts. Good move, bad move?
Great move for Carson Wentz.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes for the Colts. I mean, it could, like...
Why good for him? Money-wise? Or?
No, that's just, like, that is... That team, just get out of that Philly? Team is a the quarterback away from being
and,
great.
And the offensive coordinator... His old offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, is now the head coach of the Colts. So I think there could be some chemistry there. I think the Eagles got shafted. They only got like a second round. I think the second round turns into a first if they...
it's something like that,
if they play 75% of the snaps. Either way, I think the Eagles are going to suck.
They mishandled.
Yeah, they're all
I mean, thank God
I think the Colts are going to be good.
Thank God the Eagles got that Super Bowl.
But how good Carson Wentz does, like, I'm still like... he's going to do better. I mean, he was terrible, but like... I think he's going to be better with that team, but I don't know how good better really is.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of suck, we're going to transition from the gridiron to the hardwood. So the Boston Celtics sitting at 14-14, which is despicable. Fifth in the East. I don't even know how that, like, that happens. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I hear it in my notes. Dynamic duo, but is that enough? Obviously not enough. Danny Ainge came out on 98.5 the other day and simply said, we're not good enough to contend for a title with this roster.
Absolutely not, no. And they're not. Like I I'm one of the people that get like behind a guy and fired up about like the young people on the Celtics and stuff too. But like, dude, like you really just got to break it down. Like 60% of that team sucks.
Yeah.
Like they're not good. They're not good. Play on another team.
They're not good.
And that's just like it.
I'm going to go on a rant in a sec about this one guy, but I will say that, you know, I was always a big fan of Kemba Walker when he played for UConn, even playing in Charlotte, shitty years. But, you know, when you don't get that experience to, you know, be a stud on a good team, you know, it really comes back and bites you in the ass. And he has been not good at all.
Not good.
Not even. I think he's been an all-star the last, like, 4 years. He's not even close to it. He's not even half a star.
No, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Not looking good at all. Can bounce back, hopefully.
I will say there is a lot of positive side to it. But
there has been some hope.
But you do make a point where you say, well, these guys shouldn't be on the roster. Like Carson Edwards, that guy deserves a chance.
See ya.
I'm just saying, like, Peyton Pritchard has been phenomenal.
He's been
a big spark. I think all their big men, for the most part, besides outside of Tristan Thompson, who's kind of just like a body and a haggler anyway.
Just there, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I think Tice has played well. I think Rob Williams has been extraordinary. I think Grant Williams has gotten better at the three. I think Ojale finally had to do something in terms of his offensive game has gotten better.
What a hilarious game that was.
Yeah, when he had 24. Yeah. But that's just but it all comes down to Marcus Smart not being in the lineup. I honestly think Marcus Smart's more valuable than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I will say that right now.
You're watching.
He is the
heart. Bold.
He is the heart and soul of that team.
No, you're seeing it. Like, that's,
you're seeing it right now. He hasn't played in a month, and they're horrible.
Like, there isn't no, because there's, like, I mean, like, you're 500 beginning of the year, like, you're, like, fucking, like, 4-4, 5-5, whatever. Like, the Celtics are 14-14.
Yeah.
You should not be fucking 500 28 games in.
And you have two All-Stars.
Like, that's awful. Yeah. Two in their prime All-Stars. Like, two, and they're, who are doing, playing great. They're both, like, 26, 7, and fucking 5.
Are they doing 82 games this year?
72. It's a kind of same
thing. But, I mean, it's early.
Yeah.
I mean, who
gets... No, it's still early, but they're not showing any promise.
And their savior is, like you had just said, is somehow they're still, like, fifth in the East.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only silver lining.
If they were that record in the Western Conference, then I don't even think they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you talk, they're talking about trading for Collins and the Hawks, who's good, and even Blake Griffin talk about it. I'm not even a big fan of that either, but I have to stick out for the little guy, and it's not Jim Dunn. I have to stick out for him. Jeff Teague.
What an insult.
He's been nothing.
Fire
he's,
him into the
he's
sun.
He's been horrible. Awful. This guy, Isaiah Thomas, hasn't even – no team has even picked up the phone to ask if he's available. And this guy, you're not asking him to be the starter. You're not even asking him to be the sixth man. You're asking him to come in and score some points, and I think that's what he's going to do for you. I think this is outrageous that he's not even going to get a 10-day from anyone. I think if it's anyone who needs – Isaiah Thomas, it's a reunion with the Boston Celtics because they need points off the bench. You're not going to get 24 points from Semi Ojeleye every night. No, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen.
No.
Overall, I don't see this team. I don't see this team going anywhere, and it sickens me. I don't even like watching the games like recently
they
anymore.
They have been tough because they've also started to like lose. Like, they were losing earlier, but there would be like a one-point game or whatever, and you can like – shake that off. Like, they're starting to look bad.
But they're still doing the same thing. They're losing what was it? They lose to Atlanta the other night, and then they beat a good team in Denver the next night. Yeah. Like, just figure it out and play your game. You know your defensive mindsets and who you're actually going against. Like, I don't get any of this shit.
Hopefully, we never play Jokic ever again.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why I hate the NBA. But I'll move on to what we're watching right now. Bruins down 3-1 in the second, but still looking pretty good. First place in the East, 10-2 overall, 22 points. Marchand leads the team with 9 goals. Bergeron has 11 assists. Tuukka Rask playing absolutely on his head. I'll give Jaroslav Halak some credit. He's played pretty well, too.
Halak statistically is like the best goalie in the league.
Yeah, and I won't admit that just because of my family, but.
Fair enough.
Pasternak is back.
That's true.
And I have to discuss this, too, because Felger and Maz are, you know, the cream of the crop of the talk radio. And still, would you trade Pasternak at 2 first-round picks to get Sidney Crosby right now?
Not a fucking chance. Not in the fucking slightest.
I think that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
Is that a trade rumor going on?
It's a hypothetical from two of the biggest
some
dorks
dickhead
in
on
fucking
some fucking
Boston sports talk.
Now, there was one I saw that was like, it was like that exact trade, but it was like Jake DeBrusk and like picks and a defenseman. And now we're kind of talking. But Pasta, absolutely fucking. I wouldn't trade, like, Connor McDavid for Pasta straight up is probably the only trade.
The only thing I would make.
Like, that would be it.
I will say, though, they've been the comeback kids to start. Like, I mean, there's been a lot of games where they've been down and they've come back. But when is that going to bite them where they don't have good starts? I just think this team, you know, I think they need to trade for another defenseman at the deadline. I like the young kids. They're playing well, but it's not going to hold up when it comes down to it.
I love the grit because I think it puts them in a place. Like, you need to be able, like, you're right, it will hurt, but you need to be able to do that. Like, there was a time a couple years ago where if the Bruins were in overtime or, like, a shootout, there was no fucking point in watching it. Like, it ended there. Like, they were going to lose. Now, I mean, we're down 2-1 and 3-1 right now. I'm knocking on wood. Like, I'm pretty confident in a comeback. Like, I believe it's there, that they're in there.
You'll be hearing this podcast tomorrow. They already won.
Love it. Exactly. And that shows, like, great determination in their part. And I think you need that. I think the team looks great, like, chemistry-wise. They're working on it well. They're mixing up lines, I think, tonight. I think they move Pasta to second line tonight to try to get DeBrusk on first. DeBrusk has our only goal as of right now, so hopefully that gets him going.
Boom. Nice.
So we'll see how that goes.
I just think the route for them to get to the Cup this year is a lot easier than it has in the past. If you're disagreeing with me right out of the gate, hear me out first. So they're going to be playing these teams that they've played all year. And they've had pretty much success. I know it's still early on, but they've had success against every team so far. who has the hair on their back and who doesn't by the time. They're going to be that related with everyone who they're playing. The only team who I fear is Washington, because, I mean, let's just be honest, like, Zdeno Chara, I'm terrified of him. They don't have Holtby anymore, who's killed us.
Yeah, that's but good.
Over the years, that's Washington big. Has been the team that I'm like, we should just stay in the locker room.
No, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, we'll see how it goes. You play so much. The end of this regular season is going to be incredible, because all of these teams are going to be playing each other for like the seventh or eighth time.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be a fucking war.
And only four teams get to go in per division.
Correct.
It's eight. Those, like, four or five seeds, a lot of these five seeds that don't make the playoffs, especially in the Bruins division, are going to be really good teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's going to, yeah, like, I think, like as of right this second, I don't think the Penguins make it. And, like,
yeah, the positivity that made me say my first, like, remark of, like, they're going to be seeing these teams all the time, and I think it's their best route ever, that's 50% because Tampa Bay Lightning are not in their division. And that's a team that's knocked them out, too, over the last 3 years.
Now, it can end up Canadians or Maple Leafs, Bruins, Stanley Cup final in this new system. How do you feel about that?
I'm all for it.
I like that.
I'm all for it.
Oh, in the outcome that we would not want, I don't know if I'd ever bounce back from that.
No, but
like my head would, like, I'd blow my head off.
You gotta be ready. You gotta want it, though. You gotta want it.
And that's with the Canadians. The Leafs, I would absolutely live for Bruins Leafs finals if, like, we get to a point where they're still outside in fucking Maple Leaf Square. If I can go into the Cup Finals against those fucking people, I would be so into that.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's going to happen.
I know, it's doubtful, and I'm not saying it should, but, like, that would be incredible. Like, that would just be absolutely electric.
The only other talk I had was baseball. I mean, we should have this conversation when Anton's here. But screw them. I think MLB.com gave the Rays, after making the World Series last year, an 18% chance to make the playoffs, while the Red Sox, I think, are around like 40, which to me, like, I'm not even being a homer here. I think that's ridiculous. I think the Red Sox are still awful. The Yankees are going
to
do them.
Insulting to the Rays, in my opinion.
Fuck them.
Are they taking into account Titletown?
I'm not
a homer anymore. Like, Boston, this is not my home anymore. You guys are talking about the Bruins, I'm rooting for the Canadians. You guys are talking about the Celtics, I'm rooting for
damn un-American, what you just said.
That's ridiculous.
You can hate. You can go to Tampa and be on Bostonian.
Well, I'd prefer the Lightning to win it, but if you're telling me...
Fucking Canadians, dude.
That's like the worst
thing. I'll root
for
the Canadians.
Imagine Mike just got fired. Yeah. Just get out of here.
You want me to go? All right, fine. That's how it's going to be. The 18% that they give the Rays, the only thing more insulting was what they gave the fucking Orioles. 0.0.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they give the Orioles 0.0 chances. Why even put your cleats on?
That just means, like, stay in the house.
Yeah.
Don't come out.
Like,
where are they getting these? How are they assessing this?
I don't know.
How can you give the team that was in the World Series last year an 18.8%?
Because they lost some pitching. They lost Blake
that,
Snell.
And the Rays' whole thing is like winning like a 3-2 game, and those mathematical things, like, you just, like, lose some of those games. You know what I'm saying?
Who do they got as favorite? LA?
Dodgers, Padres. Dodgers should win the whole thing.
You already putting your money on them again?
No, because it's going to get canceled, so why the fuck would I do that anymore?
Canceled.
Like, it got canceled last time. I would have won a shitload of money.
Who's the guy the Dodgers just got the big name?
Trevor Bauer.
That's it, yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah. I just hope we get to go back to fucking some baseball games this
Yankees
year.
Yankees in six.
Yeah, no chance. You poor fucking Yankees fans are like, I think they're more pathetic than possibly the Rays fans.
But Alex Cora and, like, all these, like, Red Sox guys, like Chris Sale, were like, we have the roster to contend this year. No, they don't. This happens every single year to a team that's like, that feels proud about themselves. Yeah, you can talk about it all you want, but once the season actually starts, you're going to get killed. They have no pitching. They have none. They're talking about Chris Sale in the bullpen.
What improvements have we done?
They've lost a bunch of guys. I mean,
have we gotten anyone like that is like game changing?
No.
Chris Sale is a closer. Could be absolutely elite though.
Yeah, but that's if you get there.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
He'd be great to trade at the deadline, probably, to you guys.
I'm good with Kluber. I have my washed fucking pitcher out of
there. There's one thing I need to happen this year, and that's the Yankees not win it. I hope the fucking Dodgers don't either. I like when the random teams, Like, oh, the Rays great. Are in it. I want the randos.
When the Nats won, that was awesome.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
cool, I don't know who the random team I want this year. I'll let the season I think play out a little bit, but it ain't going to be the big.
They're not so random anymore, but I would like San Diego. That would be like my favorite.
At least make a run, because like they're electric.
Freaking run. You know what? Fair weather, Mike. I'm hitching it on San Diego.
Blake Snell just left the Rays, and now he's on the Padres.
You're right. They still get Tatis?
Oh, they just signed him to a $340 million deal.
They just signed him for like the rest of our lives.
He's literally there until we die.
Yeah, pretty much.
looks like I'm moving to San Diego, boys.
Once again.
I can only imagine what a parade would be. That is a parade I would fly out for. I would fly out for a parade in San Diego.
Wouldn't mind it. No, wouldn't mind it at all.
They got this street called Fifth Ave. I'm assuming that's where they'd cue the duck boats, if you will. I can only imagine what it would be like going down that road.
October 2, probably beautiful in San Diego.
Oh,
probably
electric. Yeah. Let's just say you could be wearing shorts.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
My final statement here, back on the like Brady parade thing. Like, if you like think about it, parade in Boston in comparison to a bunch of other places in the country, like, fucking sucks.
Yeah, we have it good. We have it good.
100%. We just had a bunch of them, so it's cool.
I'm worried that our days. I don't know why. I don't feel the magic in the air in Boston anymore.
No, I just don't. I agree with you.
I think the Bruins are our best shot.
But that's just...
They definitely are.
But it's a window. They only have a couple more years. The Celtics, I don't think, are ever going to figure it out.
All we need is this one.
The Red Sox, that's a team that will figure it out and will win it in like 2025 when they like just sign everyone to big deals.
When the Yankees dynasty's over.
Well, the Yankees...
Yankees starting this year, buddy. Starting this year. I'm onto a new decade. You guys are assholes.
This podcast has been over a year. You said that last year, too.
I'm going to say it the next one. Yeah. And the next one.
Don't ever use Tom Brady's words when you're talking about the Yankees. Please don't do that.
Dude, like, I didn't even mean it like that.
Well, that's what I heard.
Sometimes you can just say the next one.
Want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Lights Out Lang for coming in studio for the fourth time. You know, that was a real pleasure. Steel and Nas t-shirts always available for purchase. Just hit one of us up or DM one of our social media pages. Also, tune into the Mass Music Radio morning show on their channel weekday mornings at 10 a.m. That's all from Steel and Nas, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, guys. You know, a little snowy. Yes. One love.
Stay in. Quincy Eats. Order it up.